All right, get in your Bibles literally to John chapter 13. Literally get in your Bible. Just kidding, don't go to John 13. Just to mix it up a little bit, turn to John 17. Come on, Isha, you got this. All right, we are in this series. You guys are so spread out. I've got a long ways to walk. Sweet hair, I like that. About to dye mine that color. Hi, Maggie. All right, we are in this series on where I belong. We've been talking about this for like, what, 2 months now? Is that good? Couple months now, but we've had three main things or three main categories of where we belong. Can anybody name them? What's the first one? We belong at home. Is that what you said? Home. You belong home. What are you doing here? We belong where? Which, hey, Jesus answers the question most of the time. We belong with God. That's the first one, is we belong with God. The Bible says that when we put our faith in Him, we believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are a part of His family, right? So now we belong to God. We are adopted sons and daughters, which is pretty awesome, right? You belong to God now. So the first thing is you belong to God. What's the second thing? Where do you belong? With each other, with one another, meaning in relationship with other believers within the body, right? The Bible talks about a body of Christ, the body working and functioning together, being one, right? Many components working together to produce one thing, right? So we are called to be with one another, with God, with one another. What's the third one? Let it go. No, that's not where we belong. But that was part of we belong with one another. That was good. What's the third one? You're a genius if you know this, because I haven't talked about it yet. With ourselves? Okay. No, it's a good guess. It's a good guess. Okay, we said that one. We belong with each other, with one another. But the third one is we belong in the world. There we go. We belong. Josie, you get some candy for yourself. You had a whole purse of it. You got any left over? Oh, okay. Well, you don't get any candy. We belong in the world. So look, we belong first to God, to one another, and in the world. The Bible says we do not belong to the world, but we belong in the world. So we're going to talk about the differences between belonging to the world and belonging in the world. I like those shoelaces. Think they'd work on my shoes? Yeah? Sweet. We belong not to the world, but in the world. Say it with me. In. Good job. You guys are geniuses. You belong in the world. John 17. Verse 14. Are you there? Better be. It's been like 10 minutes. Bible says it's written in your hearts. Where's it at? Verse 14. I being Jesus. Now, Jesus is where in this chapter? Anybody knows? Hey, he is on earth for sure. He's in the garden. He's in the garden and he's praying. He's praying to the Father. These are some of his last moments. He's speaking, or he's in prayer with the Lord, with his Father. And he's saying this: I have given them, being the disciples, being those who have followed him, I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world. You say that with me? I haven't said it yet. They do not belong to the world. You do not belong to the world. Say, I don't belong to the world. A couple people that didn't say it. You're worldly. No, you do not belong to the world, just as I, being Jesus, do not belong to the world. If you're taking notes, I want you to, or if you're just reading through your Bible, highlight that part. That's the first key part. They do not belong to the world. And the second key part is this in verse 15. I'm not asking you, God, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Right? He is not praying that God would take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Say in. Jesus is sending you in. You don't have to say all that. Into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they may be holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Who is he talking about there? Us. Good job. On it. Talking about us, right? All believers, all who have put their faith in Jesus from any time from then on. He's talking about all of them. I'm praying not just for the 12 disciples, but for everyone who would believe in this message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and they may be in us, so that, seeing if you're with me, so that the world will believe you sent me. That's good. Know what that means? So that the world will believe in Jesus, in the good news of Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came on this earth to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins, but not just die, but to resurrect himself and to come back so that he can live in us, right? To bring the Holy Spirit back to live in us and live through us, right? So he's saying three main things here. First, he's saying, you do not belong to the world. You don't belong to the world. But then the second part, he says, but, Father, don't take them out of the world. He's saying, I want them to be in the world. I want them to stay here, be in this world, but not belong to the world. And then the third part is so that people will come to know Jesus through our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for that new life that you've placed inside of us. God, I pray that you would teach us your word. God, you would highlight what you have to say on our hearts tonight. God, we would take it to heart. God, we would receive everything and start to live in the way that you're calling us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, so three things, three of those specific things that he's saying that I want us to break down and look at is, first of all, we don't belong to this world. Now, what is he talking about when he's talking about the world? Huh? The world. That is one of them. That's a good answer. He is talking about the physical world when he's saying don't bring them out of the world. He is saying in that moment, first off, don't bring them off this earth yet. But there's a second part that he's talking about, and it mentions a lot in the Bible when it talks about the world or worldly behavior or people of the world, right, or things of this world. And it's talking about sin, about our sin nature, right? We all know that we're born into a sin nature. When God created this earth, it was perfect. But because of the fall of man, Adam and Eve, they ate the apple, right, or the fruit. They ate of the fruit, they sinned against God, and then that was the fall. Now we're all born into this sin nature, right? So we all have this nature and what is also known as worldly nature, right? As the world. So when it's talking about the world, and when I refer to the world today, we're talking about specifically sin and sin within people. So unbelievers are worldly, right? They're considered worldly. They're considered in sin, in their sin nature. We all have been worldly, right? We were all born into a sin nature, but those of us who believe in Jesus, the Bible says we have a new nature, right? But we still have the temptations of that old nature that come against us, right? And it's constantly around. It doesn't mean we're perfect once we get saved. Too bad. That'd be pretty sweet if you were perfect, wouldn't it? You'd sin right there because you'd be perfect and you'd tell everybody. At least I would. Oh, I would have been perfect and then sinned. Right? But we have this new nature. So we're not considered worldly, yet we're still tempted by the things and the desires of the world. So when we talk about the world, we're talking about this sin nature and we're talking about unbelievers, right? You with me? Everybody? Or just Jizzy? Okay. Yes. Yes, we're with you. All right, so that's the first thing is you do not belong to this world. You do not belong to this world, right? If you believe in Jesus, you now belong to Jesus. Gosh, you guys are awesome. You're so good. You belong to Jesus. You belong to God, but you also belong to one another. Even Jesus was saying in this prayer, he was saying, help them to be one as you and I are one, right? To be like-minded, to be one with one another, right? That as we are this body, we are building each other up in our faith and we are one with each other. But it does not say to be one with the world. He's saying you are not of this world. You are not, you do not belong to this world. But he's saying, but you do belong in it. Okay, sometimes we get this kind of confused, and I want to break this down of what it looks like to be in the world but not of the world, or not belonging to the world, or not being like the world, but we're in the world. So first, we're physically in this world, right? All of you are on earth? Good. Brandon, you're on earth? No, no, he's totally somewhere else right now. We are physically on this earth, right? But we also belong in the lives of unbelievers. We belong in their lives. We belong with them. We do not belong to them in connection, a one-on-one relationship of oneness with them, right? But we belong with them. So let's break this down and see what this looks like. What are we called to? First of all, we're called to be, or where are we called to be in this passage that is telling us? First, we're called to be in the world. I'm not asking, John 17:15, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one. So Jesus is praying that you would keep them in this world, right, to these unbelievers, around these unbelievers, but keep them safe from the attack of the enemy, because the enemy is always on the prowl, right? We know this is constantly trying to come against us in our relationship with the Lord. So he's saying, I pray that you would keep them safe, but you wouldn't take them away from unbelievers. So we are called to be in this world. What are we also called to be? We are called to be a light to this world. You don't have to turn with me, but you can just listen to my words. I promise it's in the Bible. John 9:5. Jesus is speaking. He says, but while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. And he also says in Matthew 5:14. So first, Jesus was the light of the world. He came here to this world, to this imperfect world, to live amongst unbelievers, right? Jesus even came to be in this world, to be an example to this world. And he says, I've come to be the light of the world. So Jesus is here with sinners, or was 2,000 years ago, right? Living here with sinners, but he did not belong to them. He belonged with them, living with them, knowing them, loving them, caring for them. And one main thing was being a light to them. So I am the light of the world while I am here. And then Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp, then puts it under a basket. Anybody do that? Really? That's weird. Just light this light and then hide it. Nobody does that. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light, or let your good deeds shine out to all who see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Right? He's saying, be this light to the world so that people will see Jesus through the way that you live. You are called to be the light of the world, right? You're called to be in the world, but not of the world, not like the world, being a light to the world. So what does light and darkness have in common? What? Nothing. Nothing. It's opposite. That's not common. That's opposite. Sean. Right? They are opposites. They're completely different. Light is lit up. It lights something up. Darkness is dark, day and night, right? It's opposite. It's different. So Jesus is saying to come and to be this light to the dark world. He's not saying let the darkness consume your light and become darkness. He's saying take your light and be the light into the darkness. So he's telling you to be in the world, but not to be like the world. That makes sense? To be opposite of the world, to be different from the world, right? So we don't go around pretending like we have this big light and we're this great big Christian and we're condemning everybody. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, be the light of Jesus. Be the love that Jesus produces in your heart. Be what the Spirit gives you and puts inside of you. Let that come out of you and be that light to this dark world. And he's also relating this world or sin, sinful nature, right? Unbelievers to this darkness. And he's saying, be the light to the darkness. Be an example to unbelievers. So you are called to be with unbelievers, but you're called to stand out. Light doesn't fit in with the darkness. It stands out, right? If it's dark and you're walking and you have a flashlight that works, is it still dark? Oh, it lights it up. That's what we're called to be, is to be that light or be that example. So what does that look like? It looks like us being the love of God. The love of God, or Jesus, he says that he was the light. He had that full power of God living inside of him, that Spirit living inside of Jesus, and it would shine through. So he would still be in the lives of unbelievers. I didn't say you're an unbeliever. I just put my hand on you. Right? He would be in the lives of unbelievers, but he wouldn't be like them. He would go and he would live a life of love for them. And he would care for them. He wouldn't stand back and just condemn them and judge them, but he would be in their lives and be with them. We're called to stand out. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, I love how it says that, temporary residents and foreigners, meaning we don't actually belong, right? We're out. We're like aliens, another translation says, like aliens, like foreigners in this place. I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. But be careful to live properly among, not away from, but among unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of being wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. So there's this continuous parallel that it keeps coming and keeps coming back to, is that we are called to be this light because what? Because it leads other people to the light, because it shines the love of God to unbelievers so that they would put their faith in Jesus. So we are called not to belong to this world, but to be in this world so that we can be that example of Christ to unbelievers. But what are we not called to? Actually, before I get there, last one. We are called to show the love of God. John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's how they're going to know you, is by your love, by the way that you love them. Not by how much you tell them you know the Bible. Right? Not by how much you bring your Bible around to all your unbelievers and show them it. Right? Not by wearing a shirt that says, I'm with Jesus. Right? It's about being the light and the love of God through your actions. Right? When other people are picking on people, you're showing them love. You're building them up. You're caring for them. When everybody else is ignoring somebody and they're sitting by themselves, Reese, I'm going to pick on you because you're sitting by yourself. You come over and you show love to them. You care for them. I only do this because he loves me. He's my nephew. Right? You spend time with them. You get to know them, right? That's how you stand out in the world. Is that when everybody else is doing something negative, you're the one being positive and building someone up. Right? When everybody else is talking trash on the basketball court, you're the one building people up. Telling them, man, you can do that. I believe in you. You're 5'2", but you can dunk. You can do it. Right? You believe in somebody. You're the opposite. You're being the light in the darkness. You're being love when nobody else loves. You're forgiving when everybody else would hold in bitterness. Right? You show kindness when everybody else is slapping people. It's just weird if somebody's going around slapping people, but you don't do it. Right? You stand out. You don't conform with the same things that everybody around you is doing, but you show the love of God by living a life of kindness and love. See, that's why people follow Jesus around. That's one of the reasons. He also did these amazing miracles, so people saved for that. But he also would go after people that were broken and were sinners and were completely trapped in their sin. And he would go after them and he would love them and he would care for them. And he would talk to the people that nobody else would talk to. Right? They literally had people that were outcasted outside of the city that had to hang out with each other because they were lepers. Right? Or they were adulterers. They were full of sin in some way. And they were not allowed. They were outcasted outside of the city. But Jesus would go after those people and love them. Because the love of God was inside of him. And he would show them kindness. And that's what led them to repentance. Not about him telling them how much in sin they were and how bad of a person they were. But by going and just caring for them. And loving them. And touching them when nobody else would touch them. So people like lepers were considered unclean, and so people wouldn't touch them. They wouldn't get around them. They weren't allowed in crowds because if they touched them, they could get leprosy, right? But Jesus would go up to the leper and touch them. They probably hadn't been touched in years. But Jesus would show that kind of love. That's what being the light of the world is being the love of Jesus in your actions at your school. You can stand out in your school. I'm not telling you to go and be weird. Maggie, because you rolled your eyes in some weird way. Right? I'm not telling you to go out and stand up on your tabletops and start preaching to everybody in the school. Unless the Lord calls you to do that, you better do that. Yeah? But a lot of it is just by you living a life of love to other people and caring for other people and believing in them. Right? Not gossiping when everybody else is gossiping. Not swearing and being negative when everybody else is, right? Not conforming to the things of the world, but standing out and being a light to the world. So that's what we are called to. What are we called not to? Fair enough. Slap people, swear. That works. Not what? Not listen to the Mac user? Oh, that rap music. Yeah, don't listen to that rap music. It's bad. What are we not called to? Those things are good. I'm called to rap music. I don't care. No, we are not called to being one with the world. We're not called to being one with the world. We are called to being one with God. Right? In our relationship, in our closeness, sharing everything, receiving everything, we're called to be one with God. And we're called to be one as a body, right? As believers, we're called to be one. We are not called to be one with unbelievers. We're called to be with them. We're called to love them. We're called to care for them. We are called to be friends with them, right? Jesus was known for being friends with the sinners. That's why the Pharisees got all mad at him. Right? Because they were thought they were all high and mighty because they were perfect or thought they were perfect in the law. And they wouldn't communicate to sinners. But Jesus would go and hang out with the sinners and love them. So we're called to be with them, but we're not called to be one with them. All right, turn with me, or you don't have to turn, but you can. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers, or don't be yoked with unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with dark or with wickedness? How could light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. So he's not saying not to be with unbelievers, but he's saying not to be so closely knit in the same way that we are called to be one with God. And Jesus even prays, Lord, I pray that they, being believers, would be one with one another as you and I are one together, right? We're called to be one with God, one with one another. But in our relationships with unbelievers, we're not called to be one with them in that same intimacy, in that same closeness. See, a lot of them in their culture, in the Old Testament or the old days, just culturally, if they married, this is not specific to marriage, but it's also talking about marriage, right? If they would, whatever, if they would marry somebody in a different culture, they would share those different cultures, right? They would share in their different beliefs and their different religions. So Jesus is saying we don't share with each other's beliefs and religions, and we don't have this close-knit relationship with unbelievers, but we're still called to be with them. We're called to be friends with them. But we're not called to this oneness with them. You're not called to be like the world. You're called to be like God and like one another, right? As Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We're called to be like one another, but we're not called to be like or like-minded with the world, right? We're not called to be one with the world. We're also not called to conform to the world's behaviors. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't copy the behavior or conform to the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Right? The Bible talks several times about renewing your mind in Christ by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Right? We're not called to conform or be like the world. We're called to be a light into the darkness. But if we go around and we hang out with unbelievers and we're exactly like them, how are we different? We're not. I just said we're exactly like them. Right? We're not standing out as lights in the darkness. We're just being overcome by the darkness. And this is a tendency of a lot of us have, I'm sure all of us have gone through this at one point or another, where we go back to our old nature, or we go back to these old habits and these old temptations that we struggled with because we hang out with the same people we used to. We see this happen every year at camp, right? Camp comes up, everybody gets rocked by God, but then they go back home to the same friends and the same unbelievers and the same family members that are unbelievers. And they become conformed to the same things of the world and go back to those same old habits. Right? It doesn't mean that God doesn't still live in them. It means they're being overcome by the things of the world and allowing them to be pulled away. And see, that's why we started with the importance of first we belong to God. Right? We belong to God. We have to continue in our relationship with God. The more we know Him, the more we're secure in Him. Right? The more we have confidence in who we are in Jesus, the more we spend time with Him. And then also we're called to be with one another. We need each other to build each other up. Right? If we're not constantly surrounded by people that are encouraging us, it's easy to go back into the conformity and the things of the world, right? And to go back to those old habits. So we are called first to be with God, with one another, but to be in the world, but not conform to the things of the world, right? Not to have the same habits of the people in the world around you that are struggling, the same issues that they're struggling with, but that we remove ourselves from being close-knit with them, but we still love them. We're still an example to them, and we make ourselves one with other believers and one with God. You with me? That we're not conforming ourselves to the things of the world. This is constantly a habit and one of the big things that people see in Christians is a lot of them, they see them as hypocrites, right? Because they start or they say they're a Christian, or they go to church every week on a Thursday or a Sunday, or even both. And they pray, and they do all these things, but then they go back to their friends and they're exactly how their friends are. They don't stand out in the world. They don't stand out like a light in the darkness. They conform to the things of the darkness, right? And that's how we get that rep of being hypocrites. And probably all of us have gone through those stages of, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I just don't look like it. Right? God wants us to live one life. That same life that you live with Him and your one-on-one time with Him, the same life that you live with one another is the same that when you go out into the world, you are built up and strengthened in your faith so that you can be a light to the world. Not you can be like the world, but be a light to the world. The other thing we're not called to is to judge others in the world. This is also something that we struggle with as believers. And this is another thing that we get this bad rep of, is that we're very judgmental. Because we see ourselves as holy, righteous. We do the right things. But not everybody else can keep up with us. Maybe we don't literally say that, but we kind of have that attitude sometimes, a lot of times around other believers, right? When we really want to encourage them in their faith, really we're just saying, man, you're not as good as I am, right? We're judging them. We're judging where they're at. And a lot of Christians do this because they see sin, and we're called to call sin what it is, right? To call it out. And they make this big deal of people who are in sin. And so they call it out to the world. They call it out on Facebook. Jesus says, look, we're not called to judge other people. He says, why judge the speck in someone else's eye when there's a log in your own eye? Right? We're not called to be the judge. We're not called to tell everybody what their sin is and call them out publicly. We're called to love them and to care for them and let Jesus do the rest of that. Right? You're called to live a life of love, not a life of judgment. You are not called to be this righteous judge, this I'm better than you attitude. We are called to be around unbelievers. We are called to be around the sinners. That's exactly what Jesus did, and He got a bad rep for it because the people who thought they were all high and mighty, the Pharisees, were the ones judging Him. But Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to lay my life down. I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I didn't come for the believers, I came for the unbelievers, so that they would know God and know His love for them. We are called to the same thing, that we are not better than unbelievers. But we are called to go and love them, and to care for them, and live a life of love, so that they see Jesus through your life. That's what you are called to. You're called to be in the world, with unbelievers. But you're not called to be like them, you're called to be a light to them. You're called to stand out, to be an example, to show them love when nobody else does. We should be the most loving people as believers. A lot of time we're not. We're the most judgmental. Jesus has called us to live this life of love, of caring for others, being in the world, but not like the world, being in it, but not of it. See, Jesus was very specific in this passage. He says, they do not belong to this world in the same way I don't belong to this world. But I'm praying that you don't take them out of this world. Jesus wanted us to be in this world. So that, in the very end, says that they would know that you sent me. They would know the Son. Right? They would know Jesus and they would put their faith in Jesus by the way that you love other people. That's what you're called to. You're called to be in the world, to be to your unbeliever friends, to be around them, but to love them, not to be just like them, but to stand out and be an example to them, an example of your love. Right? We know what the fruits of the Spirit are. You should be allowing the fruits of the Spirit to start coming out of you. Love, peace, joy, happiness. Happiness? Gentleness, patience, some of those should be happy too, right? You should let those things come out of you. It's the joy of the Lord that's in you. And that's what people start to see. They start to see, man, this person loved me when nobody else did. This person has joy when I just punched him in the face. That's weird. Why is that? You can have those things. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can have the peace of the Lord. And you can still have friendships. Right? I'm not telling you to stand out and to be weird at your school and let everybody beat you up. I'm saying be a light. Be the love of God to them. Don't conform and be the same as them. But be with them and show them love when nobody else does. Show them you're the last person there when there's something on their heart and something on their mind. You know they need something to talk about. Be there for them. Love them. You are called to be the example of Jesus. Isaac, will you come on up? I want to summarize these three things that Jesus says. Summarized them a couple times, so I just want to nail it into your mind. Jesus prays and says, Lord, they are not of this world, or they are not belong to this world, but I want them to be in this world. You do not belong to this world, being you do not belong to unbelievers, like-minded with them. You don't belong like the world, looking like the world, but you do belong in it. Because, or so that, your friends that are unbelievers would see the love of God through your life. You are called to be lights to this world. You're called to be an example. You're not called to just fit in and get by at school. Right? You are a believer. You are a son or a daughter of God. And he is calling you and charging you. And Jesus even says, I send them into the world just as you sent me into the world. I send them back to be this light and be this example of you. And Jesus is calling us to be this light of the world, to stand out, to be different, to make a difference in your school, to make a difference amongst your friends. Your friends need what you have. You have the love of God living inside of you. Every person needs that. And we don't walk around like you need me. So I have love in me. It's not love. That's self-righteousness. Right? We don't walk around self-righteous. We walk around humble. Jesus lived a life of serving people. He was perfect in every way, but he came to serve people, not to be served. He was God, but he didn't stand up on the throne and say, come worship me. He served people. He loved people. He healed them. He got dirty. Because he was living this life of love, and he's calling us to do this same thing, that we wouldn't just conform to the world. We wouldn't just look like anybody else that's an unbeliever. We would let that power of God that's living inside of us start coming out. Start being that example at your school. You want to change your school and see them come to know Jesus? Be that light. Don't be ashamed of what God has given you and put in your heart. Be the light of Jesus. Don't be weird. Be the love of God. Will you stand with me? Will you all just kind of come forward here? Just forget about your chairs. We're all just going to respond to this. I want to commission you in the same way, and commission myself too, in the same way that Jesus commissioned them and says, I want to send them back into the world in the same way you have sent me. Jesus is sending you and in sending us back to our friends, back to our family, to be in the world, but not to be of the world, not to be like the world. And look, it might hurt a little bit. You might get put down a little bit. But it's worth it, because you will be the one who continues to love that person as they spit on you and push you down. And one day they're going to come back and be like, why did you keep loving me? And you tell them, man, that's the love of Jesus inside of me. I can't tell you how many opportunities I've had to say those kind of things to people. Not because I told them I was this Christian and I was perfect, but because I loved them and they saw something different in me and they just asked me, what is that? Why are you so different? Why don't you cuss like everybody else does? How come you're always full of joy? Man, that's the love of Jesus. And then you get to be that example and they get to see, man, that's the love of God inside of that person. Don't be ashamed of who God has made you and called you to be. So I want to commission us or send us to go back into our schools and to be the light of the world, to not be afraid to be Jesus to our friends. Amen. Are you with me? Why don't you close your eyes and pray with me? Father, we thank you so much that you have given us that light that's living inside of us. God, help us not to be like that basket placed on top of that light where nobody can see it shine. God, help us not to put a basket over our light, but God, that we would let it shine to people and be that light, be that example of your love. God, that you would challenge our hearts to be Jesus to unbelievers, to not see ourselves as better than them and stay away from them, and also not to conform to the same nature as they are in and just be like them. But God, we would stand out. We would be faithful to continue to serve people and love people, and that you would pour your blessing over us and encourage us and empower us tonight. So God, we just raise your hands with me if you want that, if you want to grow in just your understanding of this and your willingness to be that light. God, help us right now. I just pray that you would empower your young people right now, empower them and strengthen them to be bold. God, to be a light, to not be afraid of the darkness and be like the darkness, but to stand out in there and be the love of Jesus. God, empower us and strengthen our hearts and our minds. You say to renew your mind with God. We renew our mind in Jesus Christ right now, that you are our strength. You are our hope. God, you are our identity. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, because you've called us that. And God, we don't want to walk around all high and mighty. God, we want to walk around and serve and bless and love people. So empower us and strengthen us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.